I'm sure some of you would like to take Abigail out and shoot her. That's just me. Submission is always difficult, but God has a plan for it. Father God, we come before you now, and this is the beginning of a new year. We're looking at the life of David. We're seeing all of his good points and his bad points. And Lord, thank you that you have written so much about him so that we can in turn internalize it for ourselves. Thank you that he was a man that was teachable. Thank you that he wasn't bent on getting his own will. Thank you that he could stop. And we thank you for someone like Abigail that was well prepared to meet such an onslaught. Lord, help us to be prepared, perhaps not with dressed sheep or raisin cakes, but Lord, that we'd be prepared for a ready answer to give to another. And Lord, I just, on my own side, I just lift my husband to you right now, who's in surgery, and I pray that you would provide for him. Then, Lord, I just lay out this whole lesson 25, or rather chapter 25, and ask that you'd pick it up and use it in our lives, Lord, and most of all, begin with me. I am most needy, and we'll just simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to have you follow along because I'll be reading from it. The first verse says, "Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah." Now you probably read right over that, but this was key because Samuel was the last judge of Israel. He was the first prophet, and he also was a high priest. So he was a key person in their society, and now he was gone. So this meant trouble for David. At least David looked at it that way. He thought, you know, I better get out of the area here at En-Gedi and go down into the wilderness to stay away from Saul, because he'll probably get his men going and come down looking for me. And there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. And when it says he's very rich, the Hebrew word there means heavy. So he was loaded in our vernacular. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel, which was odd that he wasn't with them. So he probably was so well-to-do that he could just trust his shears to take care of it. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful. Now that's God's opinion of her. And the man was harsh and badly behaved. Now I hope none of you have husbands like that. But unfortunately, I know several who do. So we need to look at the word Nabal. Nabal means fool. And in Scripture, it says that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And that was Nabal. I think he was very proud of it. There isn't a mother or father alive that would ever call their child fool. So we know that he acquired this name, and he did it because I think he was really proud he didn't need God. Very interesting, though. In a day, he's going to meet his maker, and he obviously wasn't ready at the time. God gave him a little time. And it also says that he was a Calebite. And so that's an interesting thought there, because Caleb was one of the spies that went in and said, the land was good, let's go in and take it. And but of course he was outvoted by 10 other guys, and they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. But God blessed Caleb, and I think Mr. Nabal probably inherited his wealth. And he obviously didn't know how to even handle his wealth. He had a name, though. Caleb was a would have been a very welcome name if you were going to have a girl baby. You would want to have her probably be married to an offspring of Caleb. So this was probably arranged after birth, this marriage. And you'd say to yourself, boy, I'm sure glad we don't live in an age like that. But you know, I always kind of look at that and think, how many women go out and pick out Nabals? You know, it just happens. it amazes me. In our modern day, where you can date and go out with somebody, you go and pick a Nabal. I don't know. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Now, why would that be how David would address it? Because everybody knew who David was. He was the one that killed Goliath. Everybody in the country knew who he was. And thus you shall greet him. Now listen to the greeting. It's wonderful. Peace be to you. Peace to your house. And peace to be to all you have. I hear that you have shears. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. That shearing of the sheep would have been a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David. And what a humble thing David says there, to your son David. He's not saying future king of Israel, prince, or whatever. He's saying, hey, I'm just your offspring. Very, very polite greeting. Very nice greeting. When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal and to the, and in the name of David. And they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Well, he knew, didn't he? There are many servants these days that are breaking away from their masters. Shall I give my bread, my water, my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to men who come from I do not know where? Now, part of that was true because David had broken away from Saul, but he did so to save his life. Saul was out to kill him. How many times had he thrown the spear at him? So, and David didn't go out searching for men. God brought those men to him. So it was, and be careful anytime you think it's my house or my food or my work or whatever. I was thinking about this when I read it. I thought, you know, the very air we breathe belongs to God. And everything that we have belongs to him. And we forget that so quickly. And, of course, Nabal didn't need God. He was a fool in his heart. So so he's bragging here. Guess what? He's going to, this is going to come to a short end here quickly. And so David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, every man strap on his sword. And every man of them strapped on his sword. And David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up from David, after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. you know, this is it's hard to remember clear back in December. But boy, David was being so good with Saul. So this is Alan Redpath's book. Just read you a blurb. And he says, David, David, what is wrong with you? Why why one of the most wonderful things we have learned about you recently is your patience with Saul. You learned to wait upon the Lord. You refused to lift your hand to touch the Lord's anointed, although we had been your enemy for so many years. But now look at you. Your self-restraint is gone to pieces, and a few insulting words from a fool of a man like Nabal has made you see red. David, what's the matter? And he would have answered, I'm justified in doing this. David would reply, there's no reason why Nabal should treat me as he has. He has repaid all of my kindness with insults. I will show him he can't trifle with me. It is one thing to take it from Saul, who's my superior at this point, but this sort of man, this high-handed individual, must be taught a lesson. Well, this story tells us that however long I may have been a Christian on the Christian path, and however often I may have overcome one temptation or another, however many times I've defeated sin in one area, it can strike in another and crush me in a moment. I may have overcome great temptation by the grace of the Lord. I may have stood my ground against the fierce onslaught of the enemy in one way or another, and yet be tripped up by the smallest pinprick that gets under my skin. Sometimes holidays bring that out. Oh. Okay. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, isn't that great? There's a fink in the crowd. But you can imagine how it came about. He went down the hill to see how things were going in David's camp. And those days they couldn't text a message or use a cell phone to see how things were up at the house. So they had a guy taking notes, and he ran back to Abigail and told her, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed on them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm. We did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we were with them. They were a wall to us, both by day and by night. Day, by night. Wait a minute. Both by night and by day. All the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his house. And he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him. I thought that was an interesting take on this man. That's how the servants looked at him, a worthless man. So then Abigail made haste. I'll bet she was praying the whole time. Oh, and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine. Of course, I'm sitting there thinking about this. I wonder how far that went. Let's see, you got 400 guys? No, you got 600 guys. Anyway, I shouldn't do that. Made haste and took, because I was down to how many raisins everybody got. Anyway. I entertain myself while I'm doing these lessons. Then Abigail made haste, and she made 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared in 5 seahs. I have no idea what that is. Of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins. That was where I got stuck. And 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And she rode on the donkey and came down under the cover of the mountain. Now, why didn't she tell her husband? This does not give you a license, ladies, to do things behind your husband's back, because none of us face this situation. David was coming to do murder. He was going to slaughter every male. And this household sounds like, because it was wealthy, probably had a lot of servants. So they've all been dead, including her husband. So you don't face that, but she's facing that. She came under the cover of the mountain, and David and his men came towards her, and she met them. Now, I thought that took a lot of courage, because those guys had 400 swords drawn. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I've guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. God, do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him." Now that's a bad prayer. So fortunately God didn't answer it. Now Audrey has come up, she shared this with us. It's a good time to put the brakes on. And Audrey shared this. This is from Charles Stanley. "Here to halt. If you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired." Now David was hungry and he was angry and he was tired. And that's a good time to put on the brakes. Of course that spells hat, but that's all right. Don't listen to me. I have to have fun while I'm doing this. Oh, and I should read to you Swindoll. This was profound for me. And I think a lot of you will understand when I read this to you just what it means. "Anger is one of the most debilitating emotions we wrestle with. One reason it is debilitating and paralyzing is that it is so unpredictable. It can be on us almost before we know it. And it can wear so many different faces. Sometimes it's just an irritation or the blurting out of a statement or a word we later wish we hadn't said. Occasionally, however, it comes out with such force that it results in hostile actions. Another reason it's debilitating is that it's so public. You cannot hide anger. It's on display. It's there for everybody to witness and remember. The answer, of course, is self-control. But it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to entirely to practice it. Anger is a choice that easily becomes a habit. One man describes it this way," and this is going to be so good for you to hang on to. "It is a learned reaction to frustration in which you behave in ways that you would rather not. In fact, severe anger is a form of insanity. You are insane whenever you are not in control of your behavior. Therefore, when you are angry, you are out of control. You are temporarily insane." That kind of puts the brakes on right there, doesn't it? "You may be surprised to know how accurately that describes the great man whose life we are examining in this book, a man quoted more often in the New Testament than any other Old Testament character, a man whose biography is the longest of any Old Testament biography. Yes, David, the remarkable man who modeled patience for years under the spear of Saul, finally lost control and, frankly, for a period of time was temporarily insane with anger. If it were not for a woman named Abigail, the man would have been guilty of murder." I thought that was really good. And I hope that gave you something to think about. Insanity. That kind of spells it out real clear, doesn't it? "When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground." That really impressed me, the humility of this woman. "She fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant.'" Now, he could have killed her right there, just ran her through, and we'll pick up that verse in a minute. "Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he Nabal. Folly is with him, but I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt." Now, I thought that was an interesting word. I don't know what your Bible said. I thought it should say murder, but it said blood guilt. That's an unrighteous reaction to a situation. Yeah, well, so is murder. Anyway, I don't know what your scriptures say, but mine says blood guilt. So I have to go look it up. And from saving with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. He's saying there that your line is going to last forever, and that's true. Because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, and the life of my Lord shall be found in the bundle of the living and the care of the Lord. It's just very wordy. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out. Isn't it interesting she should use the word sling? It must have brought him up short about Goliath. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and appointed you prince, now my other Bible says king over Israel. So they knew who David was going to become. My Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs or conscience for having shed blood without cause, for my Lord taking vengeance himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. Isn't it interesting? I counted some things, and 8 times she refers to David as Lord, small Lord. And 7 times she refers to Lord God, and 6 times she refers to herself as a servant. I was pretty impressed with this woman. And even though it might have been wordy, it sure stopped David. David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from avenging myself with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from hurting you." There's the point. He said, well, David would never kill a woman, but he says, who has restrained me from hurting you. Unless you had hurried down, come to meet me, truly by morning, there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male. Then David received from her the hand which she had brought him, and he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I've obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition." I thought how special David's reaction back to her was, that he really saw. He was teachable. He had a teachable spirit, and he could stop in the middle of this thing and do something about his anger. But Abigail was an amazing woman. Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And I stopped there and I thought, here he's just dismissed the king, future king of Israel, saying that he doesn't know where he's from or who he is, but he's treating himself like a king, having a good party for himself. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing, well, wise move, at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him. I figured he had a little conniption fit inside, and his heart couldn't handle it. That's how I look at it. You don't have to look at it that way. And he became as a stone. Now, some said, well, he had a heart attack. And I said, nah, I think he had a stroke. We don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. But I think, man, and he became a stone. It means he couldn't move. So his heart died within him. Something serious going on here. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. So who was in charge? Abigail? No. Who was in charge? David? No. God really saw fit to strike him. And he gave him 10 days to repent, which is so gracious of the Lord. And we don't know what goes on in a coma. I like to think that God does a lot of work in a coma. We really don't know much. There's a wonderful book out called The Boy That Came From Heaven. And I think that's roughly the title of it. It's It's a wonderful story about this young boy, 6 years old. And we don't know. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that God is working. And, you know, you say, well, I've been praying for my husband for 50 years and nothing's happened. Well, keep it up. You know, he changes our character, doesn't he, in hard situations. And you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, ever. So he died, and when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal. So he gave credit to God, and he has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord returned the evil of Nabal upon his head. Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. Oh, isn't that lovely? My knight in shining armor. But it doesn't continue. That's the only thing. And when the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife. And she rose and bowed with her face to the ground again. Oh. Behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Oh, what a gal. I don't think I'd even consider that with my husband. Oh, boy. And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her five young women attended her, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. And then there's this little thing here. And I just wish it weren't there. David also took Ahinoam. Ahinoam? She needs a nickname. Of Jezreel, and we don't know anything about her. But she has his firstborn. And who's his firstborn is Amnon. And we're going to pick him up later in a future story. So I think that's so interesting. David's... And both of them became his wives. And I've written a little cloud here in my Bible. I also have Boo over here for the way. My Bible is very personal to me. It's okay. And they became his wives. Saul given Michal his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was in Galim. So sad story there, sad story. Well, it's, let me give you the rest of this before I forget it. Don't handle conflicts in the energy of the flesh. You know, isn't that the real stress of the holiday is that the flesh sneaks out. It was hard for me to come up with anything clever with this lesson, sorry. Take conflict as it comes. You may have handled a battle yesterday in victory, but not necessarily today. You know, we need fresh grace every day, don't we? When you realize there's nothing you can do, wait patiently. And Abigail acted without Nabal's knowledge, but in his favor. In so doing, she saved his life. Now, if I probably took a vote in here, how many would have said, he's in the back bedroom, David? Go at him. And David had a teachable spirit. He was willing to change. He was flexible and bendable. And 1 Peter 2:20 puts it all in perspective. It brings it back to the Lord, doesn't it? Because he's our great example. And David didn't have that. And when things get tough, you have to remember that God is molding your character. And I feel really bad if you are married to a Nabal. I know a couple of women. One woman... she's married to she's married to a man who's definitely a Christian, and if I gave you the name, you'd probably, your teeth would fall out, because most of you know him, know them as a couple. And he's not a well man, and so he's not able to cover up his demands. He's very, very demanding. And I was over there one day, and she had a pie on the sink. He wanted a piece of pie. She cut it like you would cut a pie. Well, and he just flipped and said, "You know, I don't like the crust. You should have cut it in a little square." So I was standing there thinking, "You don't like the way I cut it. Here's the pie." Anyway, she very submissively, very quietly took care of it, unlike me. And then I know another lady who's married. He's not a Christian, and he's brutish at times. He won't let her do her Bible study lesson when he's around. He wants her to watch what he's watching on TV. Now, it doesn't the remote cause a real lot of problems? So, you know, I was thinking, driving in this morning, I thought, that's why people have two TVs. So you can use your remote any way you want to. Aren't we terrible? It's hard, but God is molding our character. For some of us, we've got a very gentle husband, and you have to be very careful you don't triumph all over him. Others have a brutish husband, and you have to be careful you don't push buttons. My husband has quite a temper, but I know which buttons not to push, and I don't push them. And it's, I have to be very careful. So it's just so many men have been trained that way in their homes growing up. They've had family situations where it's either okay to yell or it's okay to be demanding, or it's okay to treat a woman badly. I just last night for a moment had Dr. Phil on. I'd like to see what he's talking about. And this guy didn't want to be married because his wife had put on 100 pounds. Didn't want to be seen in public with her. So I thought, that's not good. She's not going to lose any weight with that attitude. So, but Abigail became an amazing woman under Nabal. She became softer and wiser and caring. So you have to ask yourself every once in a while, what am I becoming? What am I demonstrating through my marriage or the things that have been, how I've been treated? You know, it's hard to get it flipped over. It's hard not to react to the flesh, I know. So, Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson on David and Nabal. Here's a man who didn't need God. Oh, how off he was. We don't know the next moment when we might stand in your presence. So, Father, help us, especially if we're in hard situations in our marriages, especially if we're standing up in regards to our attitudes, Lord. Help us to get in the right place. Help us to help our husbands to be the head of the house, to appreciate them and to support them and to encourage them. It goes so much farther than criticism, and yet we're so prone to point out problems and things. Abigail wouldn't have lived through it if she had been pointing out all of Nabal's faults. So God, help us to be more like Abigail. Help us to realize that you are molding us into a woman of God, and that takes time.